Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritam. Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devam Sarasvatam Vyasam. Tato Jayam Udirayet. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the very means of conquest, one should offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead Narayan, unto Narayan Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, and unto Srila Vyasadeva, its author. So we'll be reading from the fifth canto, fifth chapter, which contains Lord Rishabhadeva's teachings. We're reading verse 19, which is on the board. Idam shariranam shariram mama durvibhavyam. Idam shariram mama durvibhavyam. Satvam hi me hridayam tatra dharmaha. Satvam hi me hridayam yatra dharmaha. Priste krito meyad adharma arad. Priste kritami yad adharma arad. Atohi mam rishibam prabur aryaha. Atohi mam rishibam prabur ayad. Idam shayinam mam madur vibhavyam. Satvam hi me hridayam yatra dharmaha. Prishte krito me yad adharma arad. Atto hi mam rishibam prabhur ayaha. Idam shariram mama durvibhavyam. Satvam hi me hridayam yatra dharmaha. Prishte krito me yad adharma ayad. Atto hi mam rishibam prabhur aryaha. Idam shariram mama durvibhavyam. Satvam hi me hridayam yatra dharmaha. Prishte krito me yad adharma ayat. Ato hi mam rishibam prabhur aryaha.
Idam shariram mama durvibhavyam.
Satvam
hi me hridayam yatra dharmaha. Prishte krito me yada dharma arad. Ato hi mam rishabham prabhur aryaha. Idam shariram mama durvibhavyam.
Idam shariram mama durvibhavyam. What does?
Idam shayram marma dervibhavyam. Pishto krite krito miyam dharma arad.
So we'll do the word for words. Yeah. Idam, this. Shariram, transcendental body. Satchidananda vigraha. Mama, my. Durvibhavyam, inconceivable. Satvam, with no tinge of material modes of nature. He, indeed, me, my, hridayam, heart, yatra, wherein, dharmaha, the real platform of religion, bhakti yoga, prishte, on the back, krita, made, me, by me. Yat, because. Adharmaha, irreligion. Far away. Ata, therefore. He, indeed. Mam, me. Rishibam, the best of living beings. Brahu, call. Arya, those who are advanced in spiritual life, or the respectable superiors. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Abhay Chidavinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. Translation. My transcendental body, Satchidananda Vigraha, looks exactly like a human form, but it is not a material human body. It is inconceivable. I am not forced by nature to accept a particular type of body. I take on a body by my own sweet will. My heart is also spiritual, and I always think of the welfare of my devotees. Therefore, within my heart can be found the process of devotional service, which is meant for the devotees. Far from my heart have I abandoned irreligion, adharma, and non-devotional activities. They do not appeal to me. Due to all these transcendental qualities, generally people pray to me as Rishibhadeva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the best of living entities. So I'll read it together. My transcendental body, Satchidananda Vigraha, looks exactly like a human form, but it is not a material human body. But it is not a material human. It is inconceivable. I am not forced by nature to accept a particular type of body. I take on a body by my own sweet will. My heart is also spiritual. And I always think of the welfare of my devotees. Therefore, within my heart can be found the process of devotional service, which is meant for the devotees. Far from my heart have I abandoned irreligion, adharma, and non-devotional activities. They do not appeal to me. Due to all these transcendental qualities, people generally pray to me as Rishibhadeva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the best of all living entities. Purport. In this verse, the words idam shayinam marma durvibhavyam are very significant. Generally, we experience two energies, the material energy and spiritual energy. We have some experience with the material energy, earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and ego. Because in the material world, everyone's body is composed of these elements. Within the material body is the spirit soul. But we cannot see it with the material eyes. When we see a body full of spiritual energy, it is very difficult for us to understand how the spiritual energy can have a body. It is said that Lord Rishabhadev's body is completely spiritual. And therefore, for a materialistic person, it is very difficult to understand. For a materialistic person, the completely spiritual body is inconceivable. We have to accept the version of the Vedas when our experimental perception cannot understand a subject. As stated in the Brahma Smita, Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchinananda Vigraha, the Supreme Lord has a body with a form, but that body is not composed of material elements. Shishi Radha Gopi Vallabha Ki Jai Jagannath Jai Baldev Jai Subhadra Ki Jai Shishi Gornitai Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The Supreme Lord has a body with a form, but that body is not composed of material elements. It is made of spiritual bliss, eternity, and living force. By the inconceivable energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord can appear before us in his original spiritual body. But because we have no experience of the spiritual body, we are sometimes bewildered, and we see the form of the Lord as material. The Mayavadi philosophers are completely unable to conceive of a spiritual body. They say that the spirit is always impersonal, and whenever they see something personal, they take it for granted that it is from material. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is said, Ava jananti mam mudha manushyam tanum ashritam param bhavam ajananto mama bhuta maheshwaram. That fools deride me, Krishna, when I descend in the human form. They do not know my transcendental nature and my supreme dominion over all that be. Unintelligent people think that the Supreme Lord accepts a body composed of material elements, and we can easily understand this material body, but we cannot understand the spiritual body. Therefore, Rishabhadev says, Idam Chayanam Mama Durvi Bhavyam. In the spiritual world, everyone has a spiritual body. There is no conception of material existence there. In the spiritual world, there is only service and the receiving of service. There is only sevya, seva, and sevaka. The person served, the process of service, and the servant. These three items are completely spiritual, and therefore the spiritual world is called absolute. There is no tinge of material contamination there. Being completely transcendental to the material conception, Lord Rishabhadev states that his heart is composed of Dharma. Dharma is explained in Bhagavad Gita as Sarva Dhamma Parichacha, Mam Ekam Sharanam Vraja. In the spiritual world, every living entity is surrendered to the Supreme Lord and is completely on the spiritual platform. Although there are servitors, the served and service, all are spiritual and variegated. At the present moment, due to our material conception, everything is called Durvi Bhavya, inconceivable. Being the Supreme, the Lord is called Rishabha, the best. In terms of Vedic language, Nityo Nityanam. We are also spiritual, but we are subordinate. Krishna, the Supreme Lord, is the foremost living entity. The word Rishabha means the chief or the supreme. As indicated, the Supreme Being or God Himself. Om Ajnanatam Anandasya Gyananjana Surakaya Chakshu Unmalitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaura Bhaktivedanta Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Idam Shariram Mama Durva Bhavyam Satvam He made Hridam Yatra Dharma Prishtikrito Me Yad Adharma Arad Atohi Mam Rishabham Prabhu Aryaha. So We have a few moments to speak on this verse. Things are run a little bit late today with chanting and so forth. So in this chapter, Rishabhadev is instructing his sons. Rishabhadev, of course, has taken a form as an ideal king. And his sons, they are perfected entities. They are not ordinary living entities. There's an old saying in America, a word to the wise is sufficient. A word to the wise is sufficient. Meaning if somebody already has knowledge, you don't need to preach to them too much. But because Rishabhadev is a good father, he is therefore advising his sons for their benefit and also for our benefit. You know, when Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita, he had mentioned that the knowledge that he was giving to Arjuna was already previously given in previous ages. He said, I spoke this to the sun god spoke it to this, you know, to Manu and so forth, but it became lost. So he's speaking directly to Arjuna for Arjuna's benefit, but he's also reestablishing knowledge for the good of humanity. So Rishabhadev's teachings, which are very beautiful in this chapter, lots of really sweet instruction. It's like Bhagavad Gita in one chapter. His teachings are not only for his sons, but for their benefit, just to protect. You know, father's always protective of the sons. The guru is always protective of the disciple in terms of the spiritual quality. So his instructions for his sons also apply to us. And in this chapter, he basically, from the early point, he explains that one should actually hamsa guru mayi bhavan unamrita, that one should hear from a qualified guru, one who is paramahamsa. And one should therefore also avoid the association of materialists. In previous verses, he spoke about how basically materialistic culture is the blind leading the blind. You see pictures of people who are blind falling blind and they're heading towards a ditch. And the blind people are following people who are falling into the ditch. And that pretty much is the sum and substance of American politics. Very disappointing what I'm hearing these days. But on the other side is that one should actually take shelter of those who have realization. And Rishabhadev is also explaining to his sons, like Krishna does in Bhagavad Gita, reveals, I'm not just your friend, not just some person who's standing before you, I am the personality of Godhead. And it is inconceivable, when we hear these descriptions, like, is he boasting? Is he like some kind of monk? No, he's actually just revealing this is the difference between spirit and matter. Sometimes those who are of an atheistic mindset will say that religion is what we call anthropomorphism, that we are projecting our own qualities onto God, the universe, something like that. Sometimes when little children, they'll see a cloud pass before the sun, and they'll think, oh, the sun's hiding from me, I must have done something bad. You know, this is projection, and what they call anthropomorphism. But the descriptions of the personality of Godhead are not us. We're forced to take birth because of our karma, because of our ignorance. We're caught in the ocean. So the ocean wave pushes south, we go south. The wave pushes north, we go north. So similarly, due to our karma, because of our deeds, our past piety and our impiety, all of our attachments have led us to this point, to where we are now in this present form. And our current activities, if they're material, will determine our future lifetimes. And we even see that. Some people, one very famous personality is known as a hobby, he likes to hunt. And you look at this person, he looks like a cat. In his next life, he'll become a feline of some sort. He may be a lion in a cage in a zoo somewhere, but he'll have the form of a lion. Because that's the nature he's cultivating in this lifetime. So there's a famous illustration in Bhagavad Gita. You know, a person who loves to like show off and be a model, they'll become a tree. You know, a person who likes to sleep a lot, they'll become a bear. Someone who's very gluttonous, they may become a hog. So we're forced by our nature, by our karma, to accept certain bodies. And we can make the determination what will be by our activities. Sometimes people say, oh, I didn't ask to be born in this family. Well, you did, actually. You did actually be born in this family, in this particular body, in a particular country and culture that you live in. And our next lifetime will be forced in that way. But Lord Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita, and also Lord Rishabhadev states here, that their appearance is by their own sweet will. They're not bound. Even so-called yuga avatars, they appear when they want to appear. They'll appear at certain ages for the benefit and for the compassion for the fallen living entities, and to uplift and to inspire and to uphold their devotees. But they're not bound by the material elements to take birth. Just because it's such a yoga doesn't mean that your avatar has to suddenly, oh, well, where is he? You know, no. He appears when he wants to appear. Even the order of ages can be adjusted so the Lord can appear as he wants to appear. So we have Satya Yuga, the first age. Then we have Treta Yuga, and then Dwapara Yuga, and then Kali Yuga. But look at the words, Dwapara. Dwa means two. Treta means three. So the second and third ages were reversed because the Lord wanted to appear and how he wanted to appear. So actually, the Dwapara Yuga is supposed to be the second age, and Treta Yuga was supposed to be the third. But we understand it's the other way around. Why? Because the Lord wanted to appear first as Ram, and then as Krishna, and then as Chaitanya. Because in each of these avatar forms, he reveals more about his transcendental nature. Ram appears as Mayar Purushottam. He is the embodiment of righteousness. He is upholding the good. Even when he appears to be something very harsh, like casting away Sita. Why did he cast away Sita? Because he wanted to protect Sita's good name. When they returned to Ayodhya from the forest, the clothes washer people, he heard them saying, oh, he was chastising his wife. He's saying, oh, just because Sita could be going out with other men and be away, doesn't mean you could be doing like this. And he was chastising and hitting his wife. And so Ram, he can't bear. He can understand, he can bear being chastised himself, being blasphemed himself. He can never, the Lord will never tolerate his devotee, what to speak of his internal potency being blasphemed. So by him sending Sita away, he was actually protecting her good name. And he was willing to be viewed as the bad man, as the hard, dogmatic king. Because he'd rather be blasphemed than to hear Sita Dev. Krishna, he is Lila Purushottam. He is the embodiment of Lila. So this month we're singing Damodar Ashtakam, and we're meditating on the Lord's Damodar Lila. And of course, he starts with Namamishvaram Satchinanda Rupam. So this concept that this little boy who's stealing butter and being very naughty, if we view it from a material conception, we just think, oh, it's another cute story. Another Facebook posting. Oh, look at my little boy, he stole butter. How cute. But we have to realize that in the belly of that little boy that's being bound by rope is the entire universe, his entire creation. All of not just the universe, all of existence is there. How can we conceive? We cannot conceive. We can try to conceive. We can think, oh, how nice. We can evoke some sentimental feeling. But we actually have to understand the sambandha, the transcendental nature of the Lord, that he is eternal, he is omniscient, and he is all-powerful, meaning all potencies are there. The material energy, the spiritual, all potencies are there within the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We can't conceive. We can try to conceive, it's beyond. We can't conceive our own spiritual nature. But the Lord, to show that he is not bound by the rules. See, Ram, people think, oh, the Lord is bound by rules. But Krishna came to reveal, no, I'm not bound by rules. I'm bound by love. So mother's rope that she's tying around his belly is the embodiment of the mother's love. Because she's not thinking, oh, this is God. Even if he's God, I don't care that he's God. I need to keep him out of trouble. So she binds him by her love. And so she's able to capture him. And it states, Sanatana Goswami, in his commentary on this beautiful bhajan, he said the yogis who are trying so hard to attain liberation, and may even attain a liberated state, they may actually attain the Brahma-Bhuta state of existence, they can never capture Krishna. But what kind of personality is Mother Yashoda that she can actually capture Krishna? So this is Krishna's lila, his inconceivable, wonderful, beautiful lila. But we have to be qualified to enter. We cannot simply enter by our own volition, by our own will. So where is the Lord's mercy then? The Lord's mercy comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He appears in the age of Kali, the worst of all ages. This is like humanity is just showing its worst in this age. We're really, boy, you know, they write about this particular age, what are they going to say about us? But the Lord is so kind that he comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And this nectar that's there in Krishna Lila, this love that the gopis and the residents of Vrindavan have for Krishna, which is so hard to attain that even the most liberated of yogis and jnanis, the most liberated personalities cannot even hope to even contain, he's just distributing it. Like a crazed, like a shopkeeper loses his mind and all of a sudden just starts giving away all his inventory. Mahaprabhu is like that. He's just giving it all away, giving it all away. But the inventory will never run out. Because this prem is just like a flood. It's like an ocean flood, like a tsunami of devotion. Mahaprabhu is just distributing it. But how is he distributing it? Through the chanting of the holy name. He gathers devotees together, and every occasion he makes into kirtan. Rathyatra, big kirtan. Go to somebody's home, kirtan. He goes to a temple, he's always singing bhajans. And so this process of kirtan, Mahaprabhu is distributing this pure love. And it's not anything cheap. Just because he's giving away freely doesn't mean it's anything cheap. Most people don't appreciate it. Most people, you go on the street and they chant, you know, some are amused, some are entertained, but most people don't really understand the essence of it, really. And so even though Mahaprabhu is giving it so freely, to come to the point of appreciating, of really understanding what it is that he is giving, what is nectar is contained in the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, can only be imparted to others by those who have this love. And therefore, Rishabhadev earlier on states that one, Hamse Guru Mayi Bhakcha Nuvritya, that one should take shelter of one who is Paramahamsa. Why? Because they're tasting this nectar. You know, unless you get that little scoop of ice cream, you don't know how good it is, and you won't buy it. So similarly, those who are actually chanting with taste, those who actually have realization, those who actually, whose hearts are sold completely, they can impart this. So therefore, Krishna states to Arjuna, Tadviti Panipanena, Paripashnena Seveya, that try to understand, Krishna is discussing bhakti, the highest bhakti in Bhagavad Gita, but he says, try to understand what I'm telling you by taking shelter of a spiritual master. And because the spiritual master, the devotee, who is free from any material inebriation, they have Krishna's heart. So Rishabhadev says, therefore, within my heart can be found the process of devotional service, which is meant for the devotees. So this process of bhakti is there in the heart of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But it can only be made available through the mercy of Chaitanya and through Chaitanya's ambassador of goodwill. So we were very fortunate, especially those of us who were born in the West, that we had A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada come. Because many gurus have come from India, and they have many, many good qualifications, great wisdom to teach, no diminishing of their qualities. But who came to actually come to give pure bhakti? For that one reason only. Didn't come just to give transcendental knowledge. Didn't just come to teach some process of yoga or to make disciples or anything like that. Or to make money or anything such like that. Prabhupada was willing to give up everything to give this Krishna bhakti to all of us. He even was willing to forego the usual route that other gurus had taken. Most gurus, when they came to New York, would go to the Upper West Side and affiliate themselves with the jet set, the wealthy, hip people. But Prabhupada said, no, I'm going to go where people are sincere. So he went to the Lower East Side, which again is the embodiment of the Kali Yuga, because the Lower East Side in the 60s and 70s and even 80s when I was living there was a pit. It was a horrible place to be. There were junkies. I mean, people shooting up heroin in the alleyway. There were gang fights. There were prostitutes. Even when I was there in the 80s, it was bad. I can't imagine what it was like in the 60s. But he would go there at great danger and deal with drugged hippies because he knew that they were sincere. They wanted to transform their lives. And he knew only those who are sincere can accept this devotional service. People who are already materially happy and are set, they won't accept. They're not seeking anything higher. They're just maintaining what they already have materially. But for those who actually want to transform their lives, transform their consciousness, you know. And Prabhupada even saw their drug use. He said, the reason why they're doing these drugs is that they're seeking something higher. And I'm going to give them this higher thing. And I'll turn the hippies into happies. And so we read these teachings of Lord Rishvadev as translated and commented on by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, is a nice reminder, a very wonderful reminder of the Lord's mercy, that He is not bound by anything other than love, His compassion for the fallen divinities, and for His care and compassion, and for His love for His devotees. And therefore, He says, I descend by my own sweet will, and my heart is spiritual. And therefore, I always think of the welfare of my devotees. Therefore, within my heart can be found the process of devotional service, which is meant for devotees. And far from His heart, far from the heart of the Lord, He has abandoned irreligion and non-devotional activities, for they do not appeal to Him. So no material qualification can appeal to God. We may be very learned, we may be very wealthy, we may be very talented, we may be very handsome or pretty, we may have whatever. These don't appeal. But if someone is very simple, they could be deformed, they could have a screeching singing voice. But if they have a heart of gold, if they have love in their heart for the Lord, no material attachment, and they're humble. They have this quality of absolute surrender. That can capture Krishna. Nothing else. So it is past 9 o'clock, so I think I'll end here. Does anybody have any questions, comments? Amarnathabhu, before you depart and leave us brokenhearted by your absence, do you have any wisdom to share, any realization? Any little thing? Okay.
I like your point of Gopar being two and Treta being three. Mm. And how the Lord just decides that He wants to come and the yogas just swap. Mm.
Yeah.
That is a wonderful point. Thank you so much.
The Lord will change. He even changed the nature of time for love of His devotees. So. Okay, so end here. Granchat Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Shri Abhay Chana Vinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaura Premanandi ki jai.